The toy bar is open. Come wander on in, grab a stool, and hang out with a drink while your hosts and barflies Jason Aval and Dave Draper discuss, argue, and celebrate their love of toys, games, and all things collectible. Brought to you by the
Crazy Kings of Toys!
This is Dave and Aval's Toys and Collectibles.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to an all-new episode of Dave and Aval's Toys and Collectibles right here on ToyWorldOrder.com, brought to you each and every week by the Crazy Kings of Toys at www.crazykingsoftoys.com. Welcome, my partner, Dave Draper!
Hey, Jason! It's good to see you.
I know, how are you?
Pretty good, how are you?
I'm good. We didn't get to see each other all weekend.
We did not.
Yeah, it was
Which is ironic, because we were in the same place for at least one day.
For at least a day.
Yeah.
We were in the same place. It was weird.
Well, we were, technically were in the same place. The
true.
McCormick place.
True, true.
You were in one part and I was in another.
That's true. How was your how's things going?
Overall pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah, I had a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll talk about C2E2 here in a little bit.
Oakley dokely.
Oakley dokely. I want to jump right into
the news.
The news. Well, you know, we're in May.
Yeah.
You know, it's 2 months away till San Diego Comic-Con, which is in July.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're still a couple months away. But now more and more companies are starting to reveal their San Diego Comic-Con exclusives. And Mattel's doing something different this year. In years past, they've usually, like, revealed all of their exclusives. Well, the last few years, they revealed all their exclusives on G4. Well, they can't do that anymore because G4 doesn't exist. Because it's no more, you know, it's non-existent anymore.
But where will I go for Attack of the Show?
You won't. It's dead.
Oh.
Now you can go to the former G4 for the GQ channel, I suppose.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, it's pretty scary. But, you know, and they surprisingly, they didn't use, like, MTV Geek, who has kind of done some spoilers in the past for them and some reveals. But they are revealing on MattyCollector.com 2 reveals a day, I think through the week.
Ah.
And then reveals throughout May and then a couple in June just to kind of keep people
guessing. Jesus, That's a gosh darn ton full of,
I know,
of reveals.
That's a crazy amount of stuff.
Well, I mean, that is a crazy amount of stuff.
Well, we'll look at the two they released, they revealed today. One of them is going to be an exclusive Hot Wheels Battlestar Galactica Colonial Viper.
Well, there's two of them. There's a Viper and there's a Cylon Raider
shown.
And they're like chromed or something.
Yeah, they are. They're, let's see. They are 1/64th scale, VUM finished, die-cast body and chassis. Comes on a commemorative blister card that evokes the original Mattel packaging and fits seamlessly into your vintage collection. So that's kind of neat.
That's kind of cool.
Recreating the old Battlestar Galactica packaging.
That actually is pretty slick because I didn't read that part. I just saw the toys and I was like, you know, Hasbro did the Titaniums. Those are pretty good.
Yeah.
But I, the packaging thing, actually, if I were going, I might bite.
Yeah, but
I think I can live without, but if I were going, it would be something I would pick up.
Yeah, I mean they look neat. I'm glad they're doing Hot Wheels, and we'll look at the Cylon here in a minute. One of the other ones they announced today was the 2013 Man of Steel Movie Masters Superman vs. General Zod 2-pack. Looks like it's gonna contain Superman and General Zod, an exciting diorama of the city of Metropolis, lights and sounds which simulate Superman's heat ray vision. And shows off the Kryptonian's super strength and flying ability. Diorama is completed with sound effects to help bring the scene to life. But they won't release the full image until June 17th. They just revealed the box, and it looks pretty huge.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting about that is last week when we were... I think it was last week when we were at your place with Dan.
Talking about Movie Masters, yeah.
Well, no, we weren't talking about Movie Masters. They were playing. You guys were playing around with the Castle Grayskull packaging.
Oh yeah, the King Grayskull.
And the King Grayskull.
Yeah.
And it was kind of the battery was dying, and it was like, it's kind of a sucky.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like the fact that they're talking up. You can push buttons on the packaging, and it'll do stuff. It's like, you know, if you can't get the batteries out, then I'm not really that interested.
Yeah,
I mean,
like
that's neat for like a year or two, and
yeah, and then
it becomes a hazard.
Yeah, then when it's dead, it's like, oh.
Yeah.
I think it's funny, somebody commented, could have given us Lewis and Clark. Well, that nobody hates that. Probably wouldn't sell very well at San Diego Comic-Con. You got to have kind of the big heavy.
Lois
and, the
and Clark?
Well.
You're never going to get Lois any other way. I mean, Lois Lane is a big enough character. I mean, yeah, Comic-Con? Oh, gee. Yeah, Lois Lane's not going to sell very well. Huh. I mean, maybe. I don't know. I would think if any place would be the perfect place for a Lois Lane figure, it would be Comic-Con.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you're right.
I mean, but I mean, of like every, there are like certain. This is what annoys me about toy companies is that a comic fan knows that there are certain supporting characters that are iconic in their own right.
Right.
Lois Lane, Jimmy Olsen, Alfred, J. Jonah Jameson.
Right.
You know, and it's like we rarely, I won't say never, because each of those has been made in various lines, but we rarely get them. So, I mean, that would be, a Lois and Clark would be a perfect set, because there's going to be a Zod. There's Movie Master Zod already, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess
it's basically going to be the same figures we've already got, slightly different paint job, and a fancy pants packaging that makes a lot of noise and dies within like 3 years.
True. Well, I guess we'll just wait and see what it looks like.
Sorry, Mattel, but you know it's true, and you know you're just doing it because it's cheaper to do.
Let's see the ones they announced yesterday.
Sorry.
Of course, now we're talking on Thursday. We're recording this on Tuesday, so you guys have already seen by the point the show goes up. You've seen Wednesday's reveal, so we're not talking about those.
Yeah.
But on Monday, they revealed that, of course, you discussed the Cylon Raider. So
yeah.
They're going to do a Hot Wheels exclusive Cylon Raider in the same format as the...
Well, that's why I kind of brought it up at the time, because it didn't really seem worthy of a separate new segment.
But. Yeah. Pretty neat looking.
I'm not a big fan of the chromed thing.
Yeah. It's kind of...
Like, they did that with Star Wars for convention exclusives for a while, which I was happy about because it was an easy skip.
Right.
But it's not something that really appeals to me personally.
And I thought the funny thing was is they announced one of the Masters of the Universe Classics exclusives.
Oh, one of, okay.
Which
It's a big one, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a big one. And I say one of because in the past, they've always pretty much given us two Masters exclusives a year.
That is true.
Except for King Grayskull.
See, I don't really follow it too closely, but yeah, you're right.
But they showed off the two-pack that's a San Diego Comic-Con exclusive of Rock-On and Stondar from the Vintage line, which is kind of cool because it's finally getting those two Vintage figures in Classics format. Not only do they have snap-on armor, like leg armor and such, so you can recreate the classic toy look, as well as you can take all the armor off to recreate the look as they looked in the Filmation series. But they also you can also actually transform them into rocks by you just basically lower the ab joint and connect all the rock pieces, and they form into a rock.
Yep,
which is kind of neat. So I'm glad that they transformed. They do look really good. I mean They look really nice, and it might be a two-pack for Masters that I actually try to find someone to pick me up one for, just because I had Rock-On when I was a kid, never had Stondar, and I always liked those figures, but then again, I like Rock Lords,
yeah.
So transforming rocks make me happy.
Yeah.
So I might have to find those, might have to pick one up.
Well, yeah, I thought that was kind of a big thing, because those are, I mean, they may not be, I I'm not a huge Masters guy, but I don't know how big a following they have, but I mean they are Vintage characters,
right?
And actually, and they're kind of, because of the unique rock feature, you know, it didn't seem like they would be high on a priority for the regular thing,
right?
So it's a big thing that you're going to get these two classic characters.
Well, I mean, Mattel has said repeatedly that before Classics goes away for good, that you will have every vintage Masters
character?
Figure from the original line. From the original Masters line, they will have every Vintage character out, so it will have been made in this new line. So that's kind of neat. So this is brings us, you know, two more steps closer to having that complete collection of those Vintage figures.
About Modulok,
Modulok and Multibot; those are two people really want.
Yeah,
we'll see what happens with those. That's going to be an interesting one. These were showed. These actually turned up this past weekend at C2E2. Diamond had a large display.
Oh yeah.
Their little Minimates museum, and they actually showed off images of two of their Lost in Space Minimates that are coming out. And they showed the Doctor and the Robot, which looked pretty cool. The Robot looks really nice. He's kind of cute looking.
Yeah. By the time I saw it, they had been knocked over.
Oh
yeah.
Oh no. Oh, no.
Yeah, no, those are cool. Dr. Smith and the robot.
Yeah. It's kind of cool that they're going to do Lost in Space Minimates.
I'm kind of surprised they haven't done it yet. I mean, that seems to be one property that they just, you know. At this point, you're almost more surprised by the stuff Minimates hasn't done.
Right.
At one point or another. So.
Right.
But yeah, they're cool. I might pick up the set with Robot. Because that'd be a cool one to have.
Yeah, it'd be the robot looks really nice.
Yeah.
And then NECA revealed its first San Diego Comic-Con exclusive, which is the Albino Predator.
Yeah.
Plus the Trophy Skull Pack has been announced.
More interested in the trophy skull pack than the albino predator.
Yeah, because basically...
He's not even albino, he's orange.
Yeah. All of the predator figures throughout the last couple of years have come with little skulls. And at Toy Fair, they announced they were doing the trophy wall.
Trophy wall, yeah.
And they were like, okay, you know, people were like, well, what if we didn't buy the other predators? They're really expensive now. Well, NECA's going to release the 10 different skulls that will go into their Predator Trophy Wall diorama separately.
Cool.
So
cool. I would like to get.
Yeah, people buying the diorama will be able to just buy the skulls and not have to try to hunt them down on eBay and buy, you know, spend ridiculous amounts of money on Predator figures.
And that's actually very cool of NECA to do.
Yeah, it is. It's nice. It's nice that you have a company like NECA who is willing to do something.
Willing to accommodate the fans.
Yes. Instead of just going, well, you missed out the first time. Looks like, you know, anyone who's collecting can get a chance. But it's just nice of them to go, for those of you that didn't buy all the Predators and really want this trophy, the trophy wall, just here's all the skulls for like, what, $25 maybe or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's a good deal. I mean, it really, really is a good deal. And I'm glad to see somebody's doing that. But as Dave was saying earlier, that this past weekend was the C2E2, the
Chicago Comic and Entertainment Expo.
And this was their fifth year? Their fourth year. I hadn't been back since the first year.
Really?
No.
You've missed the last two?
Yeah, I only went that first year.
I did not know that.
Yep.
Only. Wow, this must have been radically different for
you.
Yeah,
I went the first year. You went the second year without me. Because I remember talking to you because I was at a garage sale when you were there on a Friday, because that's where I found my naked gym doll. Yeah. I was at a garage sale. I was like, I found a naked gym, and I don't remember what you texted me back.
I don't remember.
Last year, I didn't go. Even though we had gotten approved for press badges, I couldn't go, but you still went. And this year, I was like, well, I don't have anything going on. You know, and of course, you were going to go with Cherry, and Dan was like, well, you can ride with me, and we'll just go to King County the day after. And I was like, okay, cool, we'll do that. It was a radical change. And I know Danny didn't go last year. But he'd been the first 2 years, and he didn't go last year. And we walked in there, and we were like, he's like, wow, this is dramatically different from last year even.
Yeah.
Just in the amount of people.
It gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
Which I guess is a good thing, because it's becoming...
Well, I mean, hasn't the plan always been all along to be, you know, Chicago Comic-Con?
Yes.
Really?
I mean,
to be a competitor for New York and San Diego?
Well, not even, I mean...
Not a competitor, but right. To be the Midwest
equivalent of
thereof.
Those two, yes. And they're getting there. I mean, very, very
quickly. Oh, yeah. I think they're really close at this point.
I mean, I'd love to see what the attendance was, the total attendance this weekend, because
it was crazy.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. I was like, I remember the first year you could just like kind of walk freely through everything, and it wasn't crowded.
And it was a smaller hall.
Yeah, it was a much smaller hall. This hall was huge.
Yep.
Huge.
Yep.
And pretty much nearly filled just about every available space.
Yep.
Which is a big change, too, because I've heard the last couple of years it was still kind of...
The first year that they moved it to a new place, it was like... It had a weird... which would be the second year.
Right.
There was like a weird sense of they had moved it too fast and it was too big and empty.
I got you, yeah.
I think last year it got fairly crowded.
Really?
I mean, well, but I mean, it wasn't like this. This year was much, much more crowded.
Yeah, this year was nuts. I mean,
even in terms of vendors, there were so many more vendors and so many more things and so many more variety of things, too.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You know what's surprising is that I didn't spend a lot of time looking around the convention floor.
Ah, well, that's all I did.
Yeah, I know. Like, we walked in, I helped Dan carry a bunch of stuff to the Nerd City booth where he was at. I stuck my bag back there, talked to Ben Spencer and those guys for a little while, said hi to God Beast and all that. And by that point, I'd hung around and I was like, all right, well, I got to go film this panel. So, you know, I journeyed off to go film the panel and then came back and... You know, had to go do something else, then came back, then had to go, you know, had to run two errands for two people that had asked me to run errands for them while I was there. So I went and got stuff for them and came back. And it's like I never really got a chance to look at the convention floor. I never got to look. One, I didn't get a chance to look at any of the booths. And two, I didn't want to because I didn't want to be tempted to spend any money.
Spend any money because you were going to King County.
Yeah, because people kept asking me, did you buy anything? And I was like, nope, spent money, not my own, because I bought stuff for Slick McFavorite.
So did you get in the line? Because I know that you're. Did you get in the line for Peter Davidson?
I did. I did get in his line.
Now how was that? Because I had saw on Facebook one of our friends, Max Miller,
right?
Mysterio Maximus, was like, anyone at C2E2 get Ron Perlman's signature for me, please?
No, it ain't going to happen.
And I was like, okay, I'll see what I can do.
Sorry,
and
Max.
Yeah, we got there, and it was like a 30-minute wait.
Yeah.
And that was I was like, sorry, Max.
I could see from where I was standing in Peter Davison's line, I could look to my right and see Jason David Frank, two boosts over, and his line was ridiculous.
Okay, I don't even know who that is.
Jason David Frank, Tommy from Power Rangers.
Oh, okay, sure.
I could look to my left, and I could see the Walking Dead people, and their lines were ridiculous. And then I'm standing, like, in Peter Davidson's line, like...
Oh, there's,
like,
nothing?
There's, like, seven people in front of me. And the bad thing is it was right after lunch, and he had gone to eat lunch, so a lot of people had come and then gone because it was a long way. So I just stood there. I talked to a couple of guys from overseas, the UK, who were going to school in Toronto, and now were spending a month going through the States, and they just happened to be in Chicago when C2E2 was happening, so they were standing in the line. So I got to talk to them and hang out with them for a little while and chat, and he finally came back from lunch and started signing autographs and stuff for people, and in and out real quick.
Well, the Ron Perlman line was like, it was like three lines, like in the little roped off area.
Right.
They had made three lines in there, and then it went out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that was nothing compared to the Alex Ross line.
Yeah.
The Alex Ross line was like mind-bogglingly epic.
Yeah, I didn't even go all the way down. I didn't even go into Artist Alley because I was just like, that's one section I never went into. Was
you know,
Artist
it's
Alley.
Weird. We tried, and it was crowded.
Yeah.
So.
It's just, I mean, this convention was nuts. I mean.
It was very, very full.
Of course, I went to the Toy Hunter booth.
Yeah.
And looked at the Hollywood Heroes stuff he had. And there was a lot of stuff they had from the show. You know, he had a lot of expensive stuff, and he had a lot of stuff that was really, really well priced. He had, I thought it was funny, he had a Mitten Box Chipmunks van, tour van.
I saw that.
Yep, yep, he had
I saw that. I would have taken a picture of it, but I was like, oh, Jason's going to be by here, so he'll see it.
Yeah, I never looked at the price, never asked him, because I'm like, I have a loose one, I don't really want a Mitten Box one, but I just thought it was funny that there was one sitting there, and I was like, son of a... I happened to look in the glass case, and of course he had all the $6 million man stuff.
Yeah, see, like, we were there Friday night, and Friday night, he had, like, the film crew, and he had all these people,
right,
and it was very hard to get to the booth itself.
Yeah.
So I sort of passed by and took a look, and he had a USS flag in the box.
Right.
I saw that, and I saw the van, and I saw a little bit in the case. I saw some of the $6 million man stuff, and there was one more. There's this one toy space cruiser that we always see at toy shows, like, in really bad shape.
Yes.
And he had that.
He had one of your, you just bought one. But I don't think it was the same brand. The little spaceship with the little robot that comes out of it.
Oh, Zeroid, yeah.
He had one of those Mitten Box.
Oh, I didn't see that.
That I thought was kind of cool. And I was like, I pointed out to Dan. I'm like, Dave just bought one of those. I'm like, that's pretty cool. But it was interesting to kind of look to see the difference on prices and a lot of stuff. Because a lot of stuff was understandably high. I mean, you know, he had a Bigfoot in the box from $6 Million Man.
Yeah.
And I think he had like $300 or $400 on it.
That's not bad.
You know, he had the $6 Million Man. The $6 million woman. He had Oscar.
Oscar, I saw Oscar.
Yeah, he had the play sets. He had a bunch of Evel Knievel stuff. I mean, he had a lot of stuff that, you know, the 12-inch, like, talking Beetlejuice that was on one of the shows recently. The Bigfoot that he had in the case was actually just on this last Wednesday's show, which was kind of neat because I was like, oh, that was just on Wednesday's show.
Mm.
So there was a lot of stuff that they started to bring more and more stuff that had been featured in the show. But he had a wide array of really great vintage items and some new stuff as well as like some of the new Hot Toys stuff. He had the big TARDIS garbage can that you could step on it and it would light up. You know, put a garbage bag in it, throw it away.
Yeah,
I think that was like $100 or something like that. But it was interesting. The only other booth that I saw that I looked at in any toys was one that Dan pointed out to me because Dan was going to buy. He wants one of those Mark's Mountain play sets. And I can't remember which one it is. It's not the dinosaur one like you have.
Is it Navarone?
Yeah, it might be the Navarone.
Because I think Navarone's really the only one they ever did.
Well, they repopped it for a bunch of other stuff and recolored
it.
Yeah,
because it's Mark's, yeah.
But this guy had one in a box in this booth for $50 and... Of course, I don't know why Dan doesn't even know why he bought it, because every time we saw it over the weekend, everybody wanted a ridiculous amount of money for that playset.
Yeah.
He's like, I should have just bought it. I should have just spent the $50 and bought it.
It had to be Navarone, because the dinosaur one you never see anywhere.
Yeah.
But Navarone you see a lot of places.
Because he wants one to... he wants a better way to display all the outer spacemen from the Four Horsemen, and that's why he wants one of those, because it would fit perfectly with those Kaleos 3¾-inch figures. At that guy's booth, though, I had seen it earlier when I was walking by to find the Hollywood Heroes booth. I looked up, and he had a Mitten Box RoboForce playset.
Huh.
And he had like 275 on it.
Blah.
And I had asked him what's the lowest you'd go, and he's like 2.25, and I'm like, nope. Nope. I'm like, I would love to, but that's pretty much most of my money. So yeah. That's not going to happen. Other than that, they're just, you know.
There were toy dealers. They were very spread out. Yes. There weren't a lot of, there's one dealer who's always there, and he's always at King County, too.
Yes.
And he has like that big white rack thing,
yep.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
and there's like glass cases in the front, and there's a rack in the back that you got to walk around.
Yeah.
He was there. One thing that I noticed a lot of the toy guys had, I described them as caves. Like, as opposed to like a case or something out in front and then stuff behind, they had like little things that you walk through.
Yeah.
And there were like two or three of those.
A lot of people in those.
And you could find, well, they got crowded, but you can find, there were a couple that had some, you know, like interesting little random, you know, vintage stuff.
Yeah. I did see a carded from the second series of Rambo, the evil doctor with the big glow in the dark, like the glow up head.
Yeah.
Somebody had one on a card, and I think he wanted like $200 for it.
Each.
Yeah, I was like, holy crap. Other than that, though, I did not look at toys a lot because I just did not want to be tempted.
Well, my problem was that I was with people, like not toy people.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like every time I'd look and I'd see a toy dealer down the aisle, and it would be like, oh, we haven't gone this way. And it's like, no, we've gone this way 5 times.
Yes.
But we'd go that way. So it was like, but literally, you'd be like, oh, there's toys over. Oh, we're going this way.
Oh.
No, we're going that way. Whatever.
Other than that, man, Toy Hunter panel was a lot of fun.
Was it?
It is.
I know you asked a question.
I did. Well, the entire panel is up at toyworldorder.com for people's view and pleasure. So you can go to toyworldorder.com and see that entire panel in its entirety. The entire panel in its entirety.
Yeah.
You can also see my interview with Jordan Himbro, which is a lot of fun, which is not your normal average run-of-the-mill blah, 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 blah. How did you get started? Blah, blah, blah. It's pretty much just like you and I talking right here.
Yeah.
We talked about his success a little bit. We talked about the success of the show, his thoughts on some things. But other than that, it was literally like, you know, I've said on the show many times that he is a friend. I'm sure people hear it and go, oh, yeah, right, Duvall. No, he truly is a friend of mine. I have his phone number on my cell phone. I have called him many times. And we, just like Dave and I sit here and record this show every week, and just like Dave, Dan, and I sat here last week, it was literally like talking to one of those two, like talking to Dave or talking to Dan. It literally was just like that, to the point where, watch the interview, every time I say something nice about him, I think I try to hawk his shirts for him on in the interview, and I give out the website address because I was wearing his I Have a Toy Problem shirt. And he slips me a lot of money, and it's pretty spectacular. It was a fun interview. I really enjoyed. It's about 7 minutes. I had 15 with him, but we only went about 7 because we were having a good time. And then afterwards, we talked for a little bit for the rest of the just kind of off camera about some stuff. But that's on there. You can see my interview with the head of production design for Round 2. Michael Murphy is his name with Round 2, and he is the head of production design for Round 2, and he was in charge of basically redesigning the look and feel of Captain Action, the packaging and all that, the figures, working with the sculptors, all that. So that was a fun interview to do. We talked a lot about, you know, Captain Action playing Mantis. We talked a lot about upcoming costume sets. He revealed that the first two DC costume sets will not be Batman and Superman like they showed at Toy Fair. It'll actually be Batman and the Joker, which... the Joker sounds like he's going to be pretty cool when they finally release him. Sad thing is that they won't have any more new product until probably October.
Mm.
And part of the problem is they are working with Toys R Us too, because Toys R Us, surprise, surprise, bought way too much product.
Yeah.
And now they can't move any of it because everyone that wants it pretty much has it, and they're just sitting around, so... Now Round 2 is trying to work with Toys R Us to move out this extra inventory so they can get the new stuff in, so they can get the new Marvel costumes, which are going to be Iron Man and Wolverine. They can get the first of the DC costumes in, which are going to be Batman and Joker. They've redesigned the Captain Action packaging to make it a little bit more slim, so that's going to be cool. I did say Iron Man's going to have a cool thing where the front of the mask can pop off, so you can put on the Tony Stark face, or you can just put on the different versions of the front plate for the helmet.
That's cool.
Which sounded kind of neat. No Red Skull, which I was sad about. They're not going to do Red Skull for a while. They're going to focus more on getting these other two Marvel these Marvel costumes out, and then they're going to focus on DC kind of for a little bit. So Red Skull's kind of on the back burner, which sucks because I want Red Skull so bad. I want that figure. There's some fun interviews and some fun coverage from C2E2 on ToyWorldOrder.com, so I suggest everyone go watch it. The Toy Hunter panel, though, is about an hour long because I did literally film everything, including the Q&A, and yes, as Dave said, I did ask a question. and my question was, from what I've been told, probably the best question asked on that panel, from what a number of people told me. So the other questions were a lot of fun, but basically mine was just like, I just asked Jordan if he feels the same way a lot of the collecting community does, that these very eye-catching and dramatic packaging of the 60s, 70s, and 80s just went by the wayside, and they're just very plain and very generic now because they just throw it all into a Photoshop program and go to town instead of doing fully painted, fully rendered, you know, packaging and all that stuff. And the answer he gives is pretty fun. It's a very, very smart answer. It was pretty much nonstop for me convention-wise. I literally ran all day long, whether it was to get in lines for something, whether it was to get to the panel, whether it was to get to my interviews, you know, having to run to the press room to plug my camera and phone in because you couldn't find a plug in on that show floor to save your life, which was very annoying. By the time I got back to the hotel, we got to the hotel Saturday night, I was ready to crash. I was ready to fall asleep and just die to the world. Unfortunately, the Super 8 motel that we stayed in, the beds were not comfy at all.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Dan slept like a snoring beast. I tossed and turned all night.
Oh.
Yeah. Tossed and turned. Stupid hot in the room. I got up, opened the window. That didn't help. Oh. Some of you are probably wondering, though, why we haven't discussed Kane County yet. And that is because I'm going to save Kane County stuff for next week. And the reason I'm going to save King County stuff for next week is because Dan's going to rejoin us on the podcast so we can regale Dave of our tales of buying all the toys. Because Dan and I bought all the toys. Hmm. We bought a lot of toys. Many toys. Dave did not buy any toys this weekend.
I bought one or two, but yeah. You know, it was interesting because it wasn't that I set out not to buy toys, but like I said on last week's podcast, my goal really was less toy oriented. I wanted to get some graphic novels,
right?
Because C2E2 has become like my place where I get caught up on comics,
right?
And I wanted to get there's one dealer that has T-shirts in my size, so I hit him every year,
yeah,
and try to pick up something. And that actually, there were so many T-shirt dealers, and it got depressing. It did. It got depressing because it'd be like, oh, that's really cool. No, it doesn't go up that size.
Mm.
You know, like. You know, nerds are not exactly noted for being a slender bunch.
That's
all
true.
I'm going to say.
That's true.
But it was really kind of depressing at some point.
Yeah.
But well, let me tell my part of the story. I got up there Friday.
Yeah.
It was the boy's first convention. The Cherry's son has never been to a convention before, apparently.
Okay.
And he was really excited to go. And of course, there was. Unfortunately, he had this thing on Saturday, which kind of. Caused some. He had this. He's really talented musically, and he's in band, and he's in some other band at school. There's like two different bands.
Okay.
And he's in both, and they were in competition on Sunday, or Saturday. So he couldn't go Saturday. So the plan was we were going to try to pick him up after school on Friday and run out to the convention, and get him a couple hours on the floor, and then maybe come back on Sunday.
Right.
Because it was his first convention. He was really excited, and you know, but he's a teenager, so he forgot that he. Double booked, and so we ran him out, and he the first night Friday, you know, Cherry likes to cosplay, but she didn't have anything ready at the time. She was working on her Evil Lyn costume,
right?
And the boy went as like an Aperture test subject from Portal,
right?
So he had like the jumpsuit that she'd done for him, and he had the sneakers, and his grandmother bought him the gun, the Portal gun,
yeah.
And it was really interesting because he got a lot of attention. Because his mom's really good at that stuff, so it was a cool costume.
Yeah. And Portal is extremely
popular. Portal is very popular, and he was getting stopped and getting pictures and a lot of attention. So I was very interested to see how Cherry handled that. Because she was always like, I feel naked without a costume. But I was very happy with her because she was very proud of him, and she was very happy because Knight.
Right.
You know,
right.
he got the limelight, and she's very proud of him and very happy for him.
Well, good.
And then I made a terrible mistake and bought him a Doctor Who sonic screwdriver.
Oh, way to go.
Which quickly became the bane of her existence for the rest of the weekend because it made noise.
Yes.
So he was constant, like, it was the 11th one. So you push a button and the little tines pop out.
Oh,
so you hear this snap. Wee, 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 wee,
yep.
Wee, wee, and she'd be like, stop it. Put it away.
I have that one.
Snap. Wee, 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 wee. She's like, stop it. So, he got a little annoying with the screwdriver, but he loved it. But yeah, I did. I spent a lot of money on him, and I spent a lot of money on her. Her birthday is tomorrow. We're recording this on Tuesday. Her birthday is Wednesday, and I'm not going to be there. So, they're my family. Why not?
Right.
I want to spoil them.
Right.
So I had a good time. I got a couple T-shirts. One of the things I was looking for was a bag because my new car doesn't have storage.
Correct.
I know this all sounds like weird rambling, but it all makes sense. But my car doesn't have storage, and the dog is almost as bad as a baby when it comes to, like, having to haul stuff around when I take her to the park.
Yes.
So I wanted to get a bag to make, like, a kit of poop bags and wipes and
when things go bad with the
poop bag, you need wipes. Believe me, that park has no place to wash your hands.
Yes.
And, like, my radio so I can listen to something. So anyway, I was looking for bags. I found this really cool. There's one place that had some cool satchels. Oh, like licensed ones. Like, they had a Shield, and they had a Xavier's Institute.
Yeah.
But the guy was just not paying attention, didn't really seem to be interested in making any sales. So we moved on from that place. We found a place that had this really cool one that was basically like an iPod kind of silhouette thing.
Right.
But it was a guy walking a Tyrannosaur.
Nah.
So it's like a guy in the Tyrannosaur, like, black, and then there's, like, the cord is white. And I was like, I must buy this bag.
That's awesome.
So I had that. And then later on, when I was at the T-shirt place, they had another satchel that had Bag of Holding written on it. And if you're a D&D nerd, it's like, it's a Bag of Holding!
Nice.
And as I explained to the boy, he's a big Harry Potter fan. I mean, basically, in D&D, it's like the thing that Hermione had in the 7th book.
Right.
So it's he's like, it's like the TARDIS. I'm like, yeah, it is kind of like the TARDIS. It's bigger on the inside. But they also had, like, an actual backpack that had Bag of Holding on it. And it was the same price. And it's like a really cool military-type backpack with all these pockets.
Right.
It's my Bag of Holding. So that was, like, that's probably my favorite thing that I bought at the convention was my Bag of Holding, which I'm very in love with.
Awesome.
And I bought a bunch of graphic novels. I got the whole Batman Court of Owls thing, which was the big storyline when they came back for the New 52.
Right.
Which was interesting. And I got a couple other ones. Trying to think. But yeah, like, toy-wise, like I said, there weren't really a lot of dealers. I did find, like, this little random Bosque figurine. For like $3.
Nice.
So, you know, that had to be bought.
Nice.
At the end in Sunday, I'm jumping. Sunday, there was a guy in this one corner that we'd never been to. He had like the Don Post Bosque mask.
Oh, very cool.
And by then, I was out of money.
Oh.
And it was heartbreaking because he was like the first time in my entire life, the guy was like totally willing to deal.
Yeah.
He went from 100 to 70, and I'm like, I have $22 and parking's 21.
That sucks.
And he wouldn't take credit, and it's like,
that sucks so bad.
Oh, it hurts.
That sucks.
So that was painful. But yeah, on the plus side, I found a guy also on Sunday. There was a book dealer. Like for some reason, Sunday we found places that we hadn't seen before. There was a book dealer near the stage where they were having like the costume contest.
Right.
Because that's what happened is we got there when they were doing the kid contest. And it was like, you know, it was cute. But after like the 9th, and here's little Jimmy in his costume, and everybody claps. And here's little Janie in her costume, claps. And it's like, okay, this is cute. No, I turn around, oh, books. So I wandered off. But they had all these like hardback D&D books for like $8 a pop. And I'm like, I don't even know what they are, but they're hardback D&D books, and they're $8. Yoink.
Nah.
And then she got some books, and he got some books. And in the end, the guy, like, I got everything. I got like 5 hardbacks.
Really?
Got 5 hardback D&D books, and she got 2 books, and he got a book. And it was all like $40.
That's not bad.
So, I mean, I was like, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was a lot of books, some T-shirts. There were like 1 or 2 toys, but there really weren't. I got a – one thing I didn't take a picture of is in one of the toy caves, there was a foot cruiser, a vintage foot cruiser that had like 2 random turtle figures in it for like, I think, $20.
Nice.
Yeah, so I got that.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Neat.
But yeah, the irony is I really didn't buy any toys.
Right.
I'm jumping ahead. Let me jump back real quick because on Saturday, even though the boy wasn't there, she got in her Evil Lynn costume, and we went to the convention. And
right.
So she got her attention, and everyone thought she was sexy and hot. And my favorite story is we were trying to hook up with our old pal super friend Ben.
Right.
Who's basically like, he's been a little busy. We haven't heard from him recently, but that's because, he's he always called his daughter his Princess of Power.
Right.
And apparently he decided he needed a boy to complete the set.
Yes.
So now he's got one, and he's not getting a lot of sleep these days. So he's been busy managing the kids, but he did show up, and he was hanging out with you at the Toy Hunter panel.
Yes.
And then afterwards he hooked up with us. So we got to hang out for a while, which was really cool. Because he's a good guy, and I like hanging out with him.
Oh, yeah, Ben's a great guy.
Yeah, Ben's a great guy. And the best part was, because she'd been staying in her costume, because it was, you know, latex, and it was hot, and she was tired. She'd been staying in it so that Ben could see it, because Ben's a He-Man fan.
Right.
And she's finally like, okay, I'm going to take off the costume, because she'd brought regular clothes. So she goes and she changes. My favorite part of the whole show is she comes back in her regular, like, outfit, and Ben sees her and goes, whoa. That really made her day. But it was just cool, because like, whoa. But yeah, and the funny thing was, I don't know how much of this you know, but like I guess at the panel, Jordan had said that he's collecting He-Man. He likes He-Man figures, and he's doing a Masters collection. And we were talking about, because his Superfan Ben owns a Laserlight Skeletor.
Right.
And he was like, oh, I'd love to bring it and show it to him. And he was actually doing the math. It would take an hour to get to Kenosha. Da, 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 yep. da. He's like, it would be so cool, because then he tried to buy it, and I wouldn't sell it. And I was like, oh, that'd be awesome. Yeah. And I was like, they'll never put that on the show,
but
that would be awesome. That would be so cool. And later on, I guess Ben like asked him, and Jordan has one.
Yeah.
Which is like the punchline of the story.
Which doesn't surprise me.
So.
That's funny.
But yeah, and then, so anyway, I finally got home Sunday night, and Monday, I'd ask my neighbor to pick up my mail. Right. I go over to my neighbor's house and I look in the window, and there's a stack of boxes.
Oh my god!
So, you haven't seen that picture on Facebook?
No, I didn't see it.
Oh,
I haven't been on Facebook much since the other day.
Okay.
I guess I should go.
So, like, I didn't buy any toys at C2E2, but that's okay because all the toys were already here waiting for me.
Good. Good. So you've had another splurge since we talked last week.
There may have been a splurge.
Oh, my God.
There may have been some splurgery going on.
Really?
So.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you got to cycle down because I love the shot. There's a shot of my front door because after I brought them all over from the neighbors.
Well, I see Slick McFavorite got his.
Yeah, Slick got his and Roger got his.
Awesome.
So I was really happy. I was more worried about Roger than Slick because I didn't realize at the time that Roger was Canadian.
Oh.
And that there would be forms that would have to be filled out.
I see.
So,
Jesus, Dave, what all did you get?
Stuff.
Dude,
things.
You know what? Screw you.
Oh,
screw
oh,
you.
I know what you just
no,
saw.
You know what? This podcast is over. We're done as friends. We're done with this podcast. Screw you.
It's complete.
Piece of crap.
It's complete.
Missing two pieces. I hate you.
Are you missing two? I thought you were only missing one.
I'm missing two. I'm missing the green and gray leg and the other arm.
Oh, I thought you were only missing one.
Son of a bitch.
Still, for those of you at home, he has just seen a picture of my monstrous GoBot combiner.
The only reason you want that is because you saw I have it.
Yeah.
Hate you so much.
Seriously? But no, but I mean, like, yeah, I saw it, and I was like, wow, that's actually cool for GoBot.
What else did you get? Did you get New Adventures Butthead?
Yep. Butthead!
Is that Leatherhead from the
series?
Okay,
Leatherhead I found at Target Monday.
Oh, okay.
Like, if you actually read the caption as opposed to just looking at the picture, it says that.
Oh, okay, I see that now. Lady Liberty playset. From X-Men.
Yep.
Which I'm surprised you've never had. And we've seen that at toy shows tons of times.
I never even thought of it. Because I always thought of it as an X-Men playset. And actually, the reason I got it is, and I've actually finally, I killed way too much of this afternoon trying to get this put together because it looks so simple. Yet it's not.
Yeah.
Is the G.I. Joe movie, the animated one.
Right.
The opening sequence.
Oh yeah!
Remember at the end of that, like Duke lands his jetpack on the top of Lady Liberty, and they've literally a figure from that scene. There is a Duke figure from that scene with the flag and the jetpack.
Was in one of the 25th anniversary.
It was one of the 25th waves.
Yep.
So I've got it set up so he's landing on Lady Liberty, waving the flag.
I'll have to see that before I leave.
Yeah, and for the record, I'm not the first person to ever think of that. There are plenty of other G.I. Joe guys have done that. I want to make it clear that.
That's pretty
funny. I'm not like certain people who think, oh, I'm the guy who invented that. I'm Mr. Cool.
That's awesome.
Just scroll down and see the actual picture, though, of the boxes. This is a cute picture.
No, but I see. I'm looking at all the rest of the Indiana Jones adventure heroes.
Yes, missing. Yes, Henry Jones. Well, it was like a whole lot.
Those were the overseas ones, right?
Yeah, but like the only one I really wanted was Henry. But it was like
in the Gryffindor common room.
Yep, Gryffindor common room. I have all the Popco Harry Potter playsets.
But you're missing some of the figures and a couple
I'm
pieces.
Missing some of the figures
a couple pieces from actual Hogwarts.
Yeah, I'm missing like I think some of the table legs from Hogwarts or from the main hall. Yeah, I'm missing a couple pieces, and then there's some animals. There's like the centaurs. There's a Gwarp.
Oh yeah.
Which is actually I've seen on eBay for like a giant Harry Potter figure from overseas, pretty cheap. Yeah, there's a couple figures in that series that are like, Umbridge is really expensive. McGonagall is supposed to come with the playset, so she'll be real expensive.
Right.
But.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, you got a lot of boxes there. It's funny, I'm scrolling down and I see you grabbed a pair of those Men in Black sunglasses. C2E2, one of the freebies they were giving out on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, I was going to ask. Okay.
The thing of, was like a
Men Friday Black, night, too. Friday night, too.
Was the sealed Men in Black sunglasses. Of course, Dan and I grabbed them because we were like, why not? They're free. Have you opened them and looked at them?
No.
They're nice.
Are they nice?
Sunglasses. We opened them, we were like, we're like looking around going, these are free? We're like, these are really nice. I mean, they're, you know.
Well, they're Men in Black 3, so.
Yeah, but I'm like, we were like, holy crap, these are really, really nice sunglasses. Nice enough to the fact that my wife stole mine, and they now belong to her. Yes. I was like, come on now.
Should have gotten another one.
Come on, son.
Should have anticipated your wife's thievery.
Well, I did get a picture message from good old Scotty Cash that says, yeah, I wish I would have grabbed like one or six of those Men in Black glasses, and it's just a row of those things. Like he must have grabbed like 20 of them.
Oh,
who knows how and why, but it's Scotty.
Yeah,
so I'm sure he was just like, shoo. And I was like, oh my god, come on.
Because we didn't see those guys on Saturday, but it was much more crowded. Friday night we came in and they were right there, kind of. There was like a bag.
Yeah.
That everybody got from some video game, I think.
Yeah, I didn't grab it.
And then, we got the bag to put stuff in.
Right.
And then the sunglasses, so we all got those. And I didn't see them Saturday, so I was kind of like, oh, I wonder if they missed out on the glasses.
Oh, weak.
Well, apparently you didn't, so.
No, I did not. Yeah, it was, I don't know. They were nice sunglasses.
Yeah.
I wish I had a pair. Unfortunately, my wife now owns them.
I don't know, mine are all... still in the baggie.
She stole them yesterday and was running with them, and I was like, oh, she's like, I'm gonna keep these. I'm like, what? I'm like, I was just saying the other day I needed new sunglasses and you stole mine. She's like, well, you
life's
broke
hard.
Apparently I broke her last pair on accident. I dropped them and they broke.
Oh.
So apparently that's her retribution for me breaking her sunglasses. Dang it.
So did you see any cool costumes? I
saw a bunch of Sailor Moon.
Really? I didn't see any
characters
Sailor Moon
running
characters.
Around. But that's about it. Like I literally
So you weren't paying attention to anything.
No,
you were too busy.
I was severely and seriously focused on, I have appointments I have to make. I got to go do this stuff. And that's like all I was worried about all weekend or on Saturday was making my appointments, getting stuff taken care of for the few people who had asked me, hey, get this. Other than that, it was just like.
Because there were a lot. I mean, I was much more so even than in past years. And, you know, there were a lot of costumes.
All the way through. Now, after this weekend, I did see, like, I looked at the hashtag for. Because it was. All the posts were like hashtag C2E2 and at C2E2. And I did kind of poke around and look and see. And there were a lot of costumes. There were a lot of Transformer costumes.
Yeah.
A lot of superhero costumes. I mean, there was a lot of costumes.
Yeah, a lot of Jokers, a lot of Harleys.
Yeah. I literally just did not see any of them.
I get you, but...
Yeah, I was like, oh.
I'm trying to segue, so, well, since you're not going to talk about it, I saw some cool ones. My favorite, though, is this guy, it was almost like a hoodie-footy kind of pajama thing, but he was Starro.
Oh.
And remember, you know that box...
I did see him.
You know that box that I have downstairs?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you know what I'm talking about, but
yeah.
it's from the cover of Brave and the Bold. It's the first appearance of the Justice League, and he was dressed as Starro, and he had little stuffed dolls of the Justice League members sewn to him, recreating the cover of that Brave and the Bold.
I did see that.
That was cool.
Yeah. I did see that one. That one I did see, and I was like, aw.
Yeah, he walked by, I'm like, oh, that's so cool.
We saw a bunch of, who else did I see? A couple times while Dan and I were standing at the Nerd City booth, we could look up and there was like an eating area that was like suspended in the air.
Yeah.
We could look up and see that and there were people sitting up there and I saw like a Big Daddy and a Yoshi and a couple other things. We saw some people walking in, but I just literally never paid any attention to any of the costume characters, any of the costume people. I just never Never got a chance to.
There was
really.
I saw Seventh Doctor, which was kind of cool.
Dude, I saw. Okay, that was one.
Okay,
I saw.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw
so many 11s.
Every time I turned around, I saw Doctor. I saw Tom Baker Doctor. I saw
a lot
Peter
of scarves, but I never
saw
actual costumes.
I saw Matt Smith doctors. I saw Tennant.
There were a lot of Tennants and a lot of Smiths.
I saw a couple of Eccleston doctors.
I never saw the Eccleston.
I was like, holy crap. Every time I turn around, I was like, doctor, doctor,
yeah,
doctor, doctor. I was just like, oh, and I love Doctor Who, just like the next Doctor Who fan, but I was just like, oh, I'm so sick of seeing Doctor Who.
On Sunday, the boy went as Doctor Who.
Oh. So, I was so Doctor Who'd out by that point.
You know, and honestly, I got to say, it kind of almost, like, okay, before the relaunch era.
Right.
I think some of those costumes, like I said, the Seventh Doctor, you know, it's a very elaborate costume. Even Baker can be kind of elaborate.
Yeah.
But, like, part of what bugs me is these people go through all this trouble to, like, make these costumes, and they're really elaborate. And then, like, the Doctor is basically a suit and a coat and tennis shoes.
Yep.
It's like, really?
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of, it's kind of that's kind of weak. You know, I'm cosplaying too. No, you're not. You just, like, raided your wardrobe.
Yeah.
So, saw a Black Widow that was squeezed into that outfit.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was funny because Terry was like, so she was trying to figure out who it is. I'm like, Black Widow. And she's like, are you sure? I'm like, oh, honey, I know my black cat suits.
I did order a bunch of, like a couple weeks ago. I paid for them and they showed up. I ordered these rare, like, Italian advertising sheets for Bravestar. Like, they just basically pulled them out of, like, little kids'
magazines. Oh, you're talking about that. Yeah, you're talking about that.
And they're really neat, but they're really small. I was surprised how small they are because they're about the size of, like, a small digest. Like, maybe a little bit bigger. Maybe they're, like, they're not 8x10s, but they're, like, 5x7s or whatnot. Mm. And they're really neat. But I looked on eBay today, and the same lady that I bought them from Italy, like, I bought 10 of them. Well, today she lists 15 that have 5 that I don't have. And I was like, really? Are you kidding me with this? I was like, gosh dang it. Well, they did a whole bunch, and they're, like I said, they're really nice looking. They're really cool. You can't understand a word of them, but the graphics and stuff on them are really neat. I'll have to post pictures of them this week sometime. But I really liked them, and they came in the mail yesterday, and this little cardboard thing shows up. And Carrie's like, what's that? And I'm like, I think I know these. I think these are Italian Bravestar advertisements, but this is really small. I'm like, I don't think it's supposed to be this small. I thought these were bigger. And I open them. I'm like, oh, all right, they're cool. I'm fine with it. She left me the lady left me a note in Italian, and I was like, I'm pretty sure she's telling me thank you, but
yeah, I'm sure.
I don't understand any of this. This is all strange.
Well, just put it into Google Translate.
I thought, well,
that big baby.
I couldn't read some of it though. I could read ciao, and a couple
means
other
like
things,
goodbye.
And that was about it. I was like, oh, okay. Well, thanks, lady. Thanks a lot. But other than that, though. Like I said, we will discuss Kane County fines next week when Pixel Dan joins us back on the podcast for something that I'm sure Dave's going to have many questions as we go through the purchases for Kane County.
I guess, but I mean, I assume you guys, like, my questions would be stuff like, well, do they have this? And it's like, well, we were looking at Food Fighters and E-Mans.
Well,
who knows?
We looked at every booth. We looked at everything that was in those booths, so I'm sure you...
I'm curious to see... Because, you know, it seems like every year, sometimes they're better, sometimes they're worse. So I'm curious, like, what the overall feel of the show was.
I thought this show was pretty good. We won't go too far into it, but I thought it was a good show.
Okay. Well, you said the spring one. I've never, ever been to a spring one.
Right.
Every year, something comes up for some reason,
yeah.
And I never get to the spring one, which is a source of great annoyance. I can't remember why I missed the second spring one. Because the first year, I hurt my foot.
Right.
I don't remember why I missed the second one. Then last year, you and Dan went together.
Right.
And this year, you know, you and Dan went together, but also I went back to C2E2 because
right.
It was the boys' first convention.
Right, right. And it just sucks because last year, C2E2 and Kane County were on different weekends.
Yeah.
And this time they were on the same weekend.
Same weekend, yeah.
So that was one of the things I thought was funny was everyone was asking, are you coming back tomorrow? You know, we'd run into people like Hembro and all those, and they'd be like, you come back tomorrow? And we would both be like...
I'm surprised Hembro didn't go to C2E2 or...
To
Kane County.
Well, that's the thing is that they filmed all weekend long. Like, he was there Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and they filmed all weekend long on all kinds of stuff. Plus, you know, so he was there filming for the show for the
well,
most part.
Yeah, but I would think you would get a lot of stuff to film at an actual toy show.
I'm sure it would have kind of played into the cards, maybe, but the fact that they were on the same weekend,
yeah.
Just, you know, they were already scheduled to be there Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But yeah, King County was one of those shows where he could have gone and probably pulled off a ton of stuff. But yeah, it was a good show. It was, like I said, we will talk more about it next week.
Yeah, my questions are more weird inside baseball stuff. Like, do they have a lot of the weird? Well, like they have a lot of the weird side buildings, or was it, you know, because I think
last time
they just had like one of the side buildings.
They had all four of the major buildings, like the main building, the little building by the rabbit runs. There's a building right to your right as you come in that's there, and then the doll building. But none of the, like, that first year we went, they had all those vendors in the outside.
Those animal stalls,
yeah. The animal stalls were full. Like, everything was full. This year there was, like, again, there was no one in the animal stalls. And I haven't seen anyone in the animal stalls since that first year we went.
I think there were some in the – well, there was one stall, I think, last time. There was one. And then there's, like, what I call the barn. Which is, like, the last place we always go to.
Yeah.
And then there's, like, that – There's the barn, and then there's a room beyond, which is always, like, the absolute last gasp stop, and it's, like, half full. And...
Yeah. We'll have plenty to talk about, and Dave will come up with some interesting questions next week about what they had.
Don't put me on the spot like that, but I don't know how interesting they'll be.
So you guys will have that to look forward to on next week's show. But in the meantime, before we wrap up the show for this week, Adas Baron is back this week with an all-new Thoughts with Adas Baron. So let's take a listen and take a gander at this week's Thoughts with Adas Baron.
Do not adjust your sense. I come to you because your petty world leaders could not give in to my demands. So know that your fate lied solely on their shoulders. Behind me lies an 8-gigaton atomic warhead, ready to go off at my command. My request was simple. Hand over to me a lifetime supply of Cool Ranch Doritos, or your planet is doomed. You might be thinking to yourself, if he blows up the planet, his fate will be the same as ours. I think not. Currently, I'm situated 200 miles above Earth's atmosphere. I required the Doritos as a means of sustenance for my celestial travels. But alas, they could not afford me the time, and your planet is now doomed.
We now interrupt our irregularly scheduled program to bring you this not-so-important report.
Oh, come on!
Boy, it feels like it's been a while since I last graced the podcast, but I'm glad to be back. Did you miss me? I sure did! Getting started. I know it was mentioned, though briefly at that, but we have finally been shown the 66 Newmar Catwoman figure. And wow, she is a beautiful hunk of plastic. Though I will say I wasn't expecting her head sculpt to resemble that of a Barbie doll, but I'm not turned off by it like some have stated. And that body! Sweet flapjacks, is that a figure to blush at? Initially, I was confused when it was posted because the design didn't quite resemble your typical 6-inch Mattel figure. And that head threw me off, too. I thought maybe she was erroneously reported as a Mattel product, but was actually from Figures Toy Company, who have the license to put out 8- and 12-inch 66 Batman toys. Turns out she is indeed a Matty figure. She just hasn't had the articulation cut into her. If we're lucky, the pleasing aesthetics of her sculpt will remain intact once this is done, because she is not deserving of the sometimes off-looking female buck Mattel is used to giving us. For the past year or two, Kyoto's Reveltech line, whom I've mentioned a bit in the past with their Fists of the North Star offerings, has been cranking out Iron Man movie figures. It makes sense. Japan is the mech paradise of the world, and what could be a more appropriate U.S. property to tackle than a man walking around in a mech suit? Though while it made sense, they were never figures I considered collecting. Until now. Reveltech's most recent offering, or the one they just showed off for pre-order, is Tony Stark's Mark I movie costume. I've always had a soft spot for Stark's big, clunky silver suit from his first outing as the Armored Avenger, and the movie adaptation, I felt, kept the spirit of the comic version and still remained faithful to the original design. That's also, in my mind, the only suit that turned out successful in 3 3/4-inch form. But as per Reveltech standards, they pulled out all the stops with this guy. Great detail, super articulation, a snap-on fire effect for his flamethrower, to name a few. My eyes sparkle each time I look at the pictures. See? I'm looking at it right now. I can't pull myself away from it.
For a while now, I've been in consistent meh mode about Man of Steel. I've never been huge into Superman. The only time I gave a rat's patoot was the cartoon series of the 90s onward in animated form, and everything we've been given thus far has not impressed me. I'll still see it, though. My one coworker attributed bad comic movies to an abusive relationship. No matter how terrible it is or the last one was, we'll still come to see it. I say this up until now, because a new trailer hit the internet, actually giving us more of the movie, some of the plotline, and a groovy fight scene between Supes and Zod. And more importantly, no stylized Zack Snyder influence. I am so pleased we finally get a bare-knuckled Superman fight. That's what we've all been dreaming of, right? Because the last film sure didn't have any battle scenes, and the original Superman films didn't quite fill the void for me either. Do I still dislike the new suit? Oh, you bet. But this film is now shaping up to be one I'm legitimately looking forward to. Oh, golly gee, did I do something I shouldn't have. Because I so love the Power Rangers SH figure arts, I decided to do a search on Amazon for all that they put out just to see what else they offer besides Super Sentai, Kamen Rider, and Dragon Ball figures. I shouldn't have, as I now find myself wanting to throw money at the monitor so I can have it all! I mean, I'm almost in tears because I know I can't own every single piece! I had no clue they made a G Gundam Domonkashu! There was more to their One Piece line than just Rufy? I don't follow Kamen Rider, but those characters are beautifully designed to make perfect action figures! I need to start selling my organs on the black market to build up funds to purchase every last one! Seriously, I don't really need my small intestine, do I? Well, guys, for those of you not in the know, Free Comic Book Day is Saturday, which means I should probably go line up now. So, from Baron HQ, I bid you adieu!
Does no one take me seriously? Fine. We shall see who's laughing as I activate the warhead. What's that coming at me from the outside window? Oh no, it's...
That's right, vile fiend. It is I, Super Sven. The world leaders, in dire circumstance, reached out to me to put a stop to your dastardly villainy.
But I have the detonator. What could you possibly do?
You mean this detonator?
How did you...
By the combined powers of love and entertainment bestowed upon me, my friend, that's how.
Curse you, Super Sven!
I think we've had enough out of you. Rejoice, humanity, for through your efforts, we have won the day. As soon as I haul this one off the supervillain prison, I shall return to your open arms, and we will celebrate this momentous occasion as one united society. Today, we have won back Earth. Today, we declare world peace!
Yay! Welcome back, Edasbato. After his week off.
Yes.
He took a week off. He needed the rest. He had no thoughts last week.
He
was
to
thoughtless.
Collect them.
He was thoughtless. Thoughtless bastich. My Lobo speak.
Yeah, your Lobo speak.
I know, that's right.
Yeah, the 90s called.
They
want that
the
back.
Lobo speak pick, yeah, yeah. Well, let's, before we wander off into the toy-filled night, let's answer a few fan questions.
Fan questions?
Fan questions, Dave.
Dun, 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 dun. Fan questions, Dave.
Fan questions.
Dun, 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 dun.
Fan questions, Dave.
Fan questions.
All right. Let's see here. This week's question's from... one and only Mike Lacey, who's been missing in action for some time. MLacey91 says, hey guys, with Mattel doing their reveal a day this week, what would you like to see as a San Diego Comic-Con exclusive for your toy, favorite toy lines this year? And what are a few of your favorite San Diego Comic-Con exclusives from the past?
You know, I don't know, because my problem with that is anything I would really like to buy, I don't want to be a Comic-Con exclusive.
Right, exactly.
So it's a double-edged sword.
Yes.
I mean, favorites in the past. I love the Indiana Jones Lost Wave.
Yes.
I really like the Sky Striker sound or Starscream.
That was
repaint.
Cool.
That was super cool. You know, I mean, there are certain characters. There are certain characters and figures, like Sergeant Slaughter for Joe, Lobo for
DC
That aren't really going to see mass release. because whatever for legal issues or because of concerns.
Right. Yeah.
So those are always good concerns, and those are cool ones that I've liked in the past. You know, it's just like I said, it's hard for me to sit there and say I would like this to be a convention exclusive, because then I'm going to have to spend a bunch of money on eBay to buy it.
Right.
So,
which is kind of what you've done the last couple of years. You've just pre-ordered them on eBay for a little bit above the price.
I've had some help from our people on the West Coast.
Right. In the past.
Now we got beef, apparently, so.
Yeah, apparently.
So,
Good times. Yeah.
So, yeah, Jared, so I don't think I can count on Jared this year.
No, probably not.
So, yeah, this year I'm definitely going to have to be forking out the – but they said there's not going to be no single card – there's not going to be any single card at Joe's.
Well, that's good.
So that's a relief.
That's a good. That's a big plus.
So I like the Transformer G.I. Joe thing. If they can come up with a good one, this I know they promised a good one this year,
right?
Or they've hinted that there's going to be something that will complete. I don't know, craziness. So, like I said, it's just hard for me to say that I want something to be a Comic-Con exclusive, because by definition, I don't.
Exactly, because it's a pain.
Yeah,
I think my favorite from the past has been Plastic Man.
That's a good one.
I really liked that figure. I liked all the accessories he came with and the extras.
Neat, yeah.
He came with the little San Diego Comic-Con suitcase that had the comics in it, which was pretty neat. I really liked that figure. And, of course, that was the only way you could get the Superpowers version of a Plastic Man, because they weren't going to release him on a card individually. So that was really kind of only the way. Like with me, I'm still missing a couple of Superpowers figures. I'm missing the samurai guy. I can't think of his name.
Samurai.
Samurai, yeah. I'm missing Samurai, and I'm missing the new Penguin that's out. I do not have that Penguin figure.
He pops up.
I know, and I've seen him. I've seen him in stores. I saw him at Walmart last night. I cannot bring myself to spend $17 on
him. Well, you're never going
to get him. Plus, I saw Samurai at the Walmart near me on my side of town in the clearance section, but apparently Walmart's clearance for DC Universe Classics of Days Old is $16.97.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Walmart, like, clearance is a contradiction in terms, usually.
I know. I was like, this is as much as the Penguin figure. Well, it's no, I'm sorry. 2 cents less than the Penguin figure.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks, Walmart. Like, I could have bought Samurai and been one step closer to having that set. But no, Walmart's stupid. And as for what I'd like to see as a Comic-Con exclusive from a line, I'm the same as Dave. I don't like with the Rock on and Stone Dog, I really would like to have those characters and those figures, even though I'm not buying Masters figures. The reason I want those is because, I had one of them when I was a kid, and I remember I played with that figure all the time, and it was one of my favorite Masters figures, and I'd really like to have that set. But, you know, I of course, we know people, you know, we know Dan's going to go, you know,
yeah.
I don't want to hamper anyone, even though Mattel's doing the pre-order thing, and I could just give Dan money and be like, here, just pick up
my,
you know.
With Mattel, it's a lot easier, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's again, like, even with Jared, who had, like, secret ways,
yeah.
Still, it was a big deal to ask anyone to do Hasbro.
And it's like, I don't want to have to have somebody, like, having, you know, they're getting so much stuff, they have to ship stuff home, and I don't want to put that on anybody. So, I may do what Dave does and just brave eBay and just, I don't know yet.
Well, I'm going to have like a real, especially this year, a real hard criteria. It's going to be like, do I really have to have those?
Right. Yeah.
So,
I know that the Four Horsemen are going to, I believe they're going to release a Power Lords set at San Diego Comic-Con this year.
Oh, ouch.
And that, unfortunately, is something I'm going to have to ask Dan, be like, here is money. There, it's going to be a small package. Put it in your suitcase and bring it home to me. You know?
Yeah.
That's one of those things where I'm going to be like, I'm sorry. I don't like to do this with people because I hated it when it was done to me, especially at Comic-Con. Like, I don't mind it at C2E2 or stuff. That's great. I'll do whatever anyone wants at C2E2 or smaller conventions. But San Diego Comic-Con, it's always like, I'm not going to have any time to do any of this stuff. This sucks, you know? That first year, I was just taking orders from everybody, and it was just like,
I know.
Holy
I did that too.
Crap. It's like, oh, my God, why
did I do
this?
The 2 years I went, I had lists.
Yeah, I was like, I regret it every moment of it. But yeah, that might be something. I don't really have any, you know, like Dave said, I really, the stuff that I would like to have from current toy lines and stuff, I don't want to see as Comic-Con exclusive, because that's a big pain in the keister. I mean, it really is just a pain in the butt, and I don't want to deal with that. That sucks so bad. To have to fight people to get those Comic-Con exclusives sometimes, especially at the con. You know as well as I do. You can't get in the Hasbro line.
No, it's a nightmare.
Mattel's made it a lot easier, but if there's something you want extra, there's a lot of things that they're offering this year that you're not going to be able to pre-order. You have to go to their booth and buy.
A week.
Yeah, there's some stuff.
Wait, because they're the ones that innovated that. That was such a good idea.
I know. Well, in the past, one of the things that wasn't on the pre-orders that they surprised people with, and we saw one this weekend at C2E2, was they had this large, like 1/64 scale, like buggy, but it was Masters of the Universe for Hot Wheels. And that goes for like hundreds of dollars now because it surprised everyone and it sold out in minutes. Like it was gone. And it was gone for the whole week. Like it was gone. Comic-Con had no more after that first night. They were gone. So that's like, that's the kind of stuff that they're surprising people with and going, not on the pre-orders, but we have more stuff at the Mattel booth that isn't on the pre-orders that San Diego Comic-Con exclusives, which sucks. Which again, just makes me kind of fear going back to Comic-Con. Because
honestly, if I ever go back, I'm just gonna at this point I'm gonna have to have the money anyway just to go back.
Right.
So I figure if I ever go back, I'll have the money to basically just go to a dealer table and say, "I'm going to pay your outrageous money."
Right. Right. Right.
Because that is my time is worth more to me.
Right.
Than not standing in the Hasbro line is worth whatever your stupid markup is.
Yeah, I agree.
And it's a big markup, but if you haven't done the Hasbro line, you cannot understand.
Yeah, it's a nightmare.
It's awful.
It is horrible. Well, there you go, guys. That brings us to the end of this episode for this week's David of All's Toys and Collectibles. Of course, you can check out our sponsors, the Crazy Kings of Toys, at www.crazykingsoftoys.com. Proud sponsors of David of All's Toys and Collectibles. Make sure you check them out. Click on the banner on the show page on toyworldorder.com. Visit them. Tell them we sent you. They've got lots of great stuff, lots of great deals going on. Always got new stuff coming in, and they're kind of expanding what they carry as they grow. So that is a plus. So they're kind of getting bigger, and they got more stuff, and that's a good thing for everybody. So make sure you check them out. Make sure you, if you're on the Twitterverse, you can follow the show at Dave and Duvall. You can follow the site at Toy World Order. You can follow me at Puppet Duvall, and Dave does not believe in social media.
I'm on Facebook.
Okay, well, Dave does not believe in the Twitters.
I'm not a big fan of the Twitters.
No. No. But if you want to come to Springfield and find Dave Draper, it'll cost you $30 to be chased off his lawn with a rake.
Jeez.
Hey, it keeps going up.
Keeps going up.
Well, you're going to have money to give me money in order for me to buy stuff that I find on eBay.
That's true.
Because you got to have money to buy stuff
for
me.
The thing is, I think that conversation actually took place like while we were listening
to
DOS.
Oh, we did. That just
so nobody knows what we're talking about.
That just lets people's imaginations run wild. Oh, man. Well, there you go, gang. That brings us to the end of this episode. And David?
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
I'm not going to try to repeat it this week, gang. The toy bar is closed. We'll see you next week.